Let me make sure I get the right folder prompted, because that is for the Daily Cup of Genre,
Yeah.
which is not the show. And what I do love about this is being able to do. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit. Hey guys, welcome to Anime Versal Reviews. It's time to talk about some anime. That's right, you're here with Kyle, Christine, and Brian as per usual. Brian, I know for a fact what I'm about to put on the screen has got you so excited. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen that are going to be watching this. This next part might have to be cut out, but at least changed, edited, smalled, watermarked, all of that good stuff. But I have to start with this. Let me, where's my show the video thing? Let's see. Hide. No, I don't wanna. I used to be able to show the. Let's see. Why isn't it working? I don't know why it's doing this. But anyways, Brian here. React. I don't know why it's got the Hispanic things up on the Netflix thing, but this is Netflix's channel. Oh, it's Netflix Brazil, that's why.
There
Oh wow, I can't believe I did that. Anyways,
go.
dude,
Excited, dude.
Hathaway's coming to Netflix. That's the whole point.
This is a brand new film in the franchise. This is the UC, universe. It's going to be a trilogy of films over the next, I don't know, year or two, or well, we'll see. Hopefully, a year or two. And the fact that, yeah, it's going to Netflix. I was like, it was something I wanted to see really badly, and I'm going to, and easily.
Yeah, dude, like literally my VPN's not on or anything. It's like I don't know why I type in literally Netflix Gundam Hathaway and the only things that pop up are like Netflix Indonesia, Netflix Brazil, Netflix anyways, guys. It's a big deal, like Brian just said. I know Christine's over here like, ah, fuck giant robots. I don't give a give two shits, but yeah, let's get into what Anime Versal is. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the Anime Versal Reviews podcast. Here, it's not just reviews; we do a lot of just regular discussions. We did do a full in-depth review of Dr. Stone Season 2, the Stone Wars. That was a lot of fun. We are looking for a new show, maybe in the upcoming fall season. Maybe to fo follow together and do another or maybe summer season
Yeah.
and follow together but we'll see what's going on. Today we're going to talk a little bit about FLCL, fully coolly, something that especially for people our age and maybe our immediately younger and or older siblings was a huge deal in the early 2000s. And yeah, let me introduce everyone that's here. To my immediate left is my significant other, Christine. How's it going?
It's going good.
And then way to our, I guess, map left is Brian.
Hello.
Brian has a ch channel on YouTube called Pulp Mythos, does a lot of really cool reviews, a lot of niche things that you guys m might be into, so please check that out. But before you do that, of course, since you're already here on the LRM Genreverse Podcast Network or YouTube ch channel, go ahead and hit our subscribe button first. So, guys, that's the house cleaning. That's the botched Hathaway Brian thing. I don't know why Zoom didn't want to give me the video option. I'm gonna blame Netflix Brazil. I said Netflix Brazil, okay? It's not like when I say I blame the CCP and that. Never mind. Anyways, FLCL. This is such an interesting show to discuss because this is this is one of the those shows that when it came out, I know my immediate thought was like, okay, this is the epitome of anime. Like, this is it. Now I've reached elitism because, like Akira, I don't know what the fuck I just watched.
Yeah.
But I know it was really, really, really good. And I think a lot of people had that reaction. It's often called a coming of age story. I honestly think it's not so much a coming of age, but more of a like coping with wanting what you can't have and dealing with that. I guess yeah. That's a little bit part of growing up, but I feel like that's a major theme in this show. The more times I've seen it, and God, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, but that was kind of my initial reaction to it, Brian. When I saw it, I saw it just like you, I guarantee, from Toonami, before trying to go buy it at some place for $50 a DVD with two episodes each. What were your initial reactions to it, man?
Yeah, I saw, like you said, those early days of Toonami, early 2000s. It's funny because when we were like, hey, we're doing this review, I had realized, and it's, I haven't seen this in almost 15 years. Wow. And wow. Yeah, and it blew my mind when I thought about it, because I started thinking, oh, yeah, when was the last time I watched it? Because I was like, yeah, I'm going to rewatch all of it. And you were like, no, you only need probably, you know, watch certain episodes. I was like, nope, I need to rewatch all of it. Yeah, it was one of those things, like you said, it was, I remember why, I could have watched it with you at one point. You know, I watched it with a lot of different friends in those early days. And then it used to come on a lot. They would marathon it. And so I remember going to sleep to it several times also watching it. So it was for a handful of years in the early 2000s, I saw it several times. But yeah, it has been a long time. And revisiting it, wow, yeah, it holds up very well. And like you said, there's little things now being older. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, maybe, you know, there's certain things, especially relationship aspects. I'm like, oh, OK, that hits a little deeper for this reason or that reason. So it's something that you'll get more the more you watch it.
I happen to agree. Christine has a little bit of a different experience. I actually got to introduce this to her.
This was the first one you introduced to me. And I remember watching. I'm like, this is fun. It looks so cool, but I'm having such a hard time following it because it's so wild and random at times. So it's like, you know, you're still trying to focus and try to figure out what the hell's going on. And but yeah, it held my interest, of course.
It's also the first manga she read because she asked to get the manga. I think maybe, I don't know if you wanted to try to understand it better or just see it differently, but those were those were the first ones that you had ever read as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about those. Yeah, that was a very long time ago. But yeah, loved it. And I was like, I can't wait for you to show me something else. Because I remember growing up, I was like, I tried Sailor Moon and just wasn't for me. And I was like, well. So, but this one, I was like, okay, give me another one.
Yeah, absolutely. We like this so much, we've actually both have got freaking Conti and or Adamus, however you want to look at it, tattooed on us. And I've got Naoto on the rubble of Mabase City with the iron in the background. And Christine's got this really cool composite of a couple inch images of Conti, like up in the sky with his wings on, right?
Yeah, and the birds.
Yeah, and the bird. Yeah. Yep. So it's a really big deal. When you first watch it, like I said, a lot of people, it's only six episodes, and the general story is Naoto's a young man. They say grade school, but it's different in Japan. I think he's what, 12, 13, something like that.
I think he's 12-ish.
Yeah, because Samaji Mamimi's 16 or 17, I believe, because she's high school and his older brother is a little older than her. But anyways, he's in that phase where he's too cool for school. He's too mature for his older friends. He's kind of gone off on a different path of mental growth, if you will. While a lot of his friends still want to goof off and have 12-year-old fun, he wants to kind of grow up, but he's still a kid. He doesn't like bitter drinks. He likes sweet drinks. He doesn't like spicy food. Like, they make all these points out about him wanting to be this adult character, and yet he's still got all these childish things about him.
Yeah, and some immaturity as well. You know, not just, you know, childish tastes.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, like food and drink, but yeah.
Well, nothing's more immature, Brian. You work with kids all day, so you see this type of behavior all the time. But nothing's more immature than thinking that you are mature.
Yes.
So now to, you know, he goes about his daily business. A strange girl ends up hitting him with a bike and is able to pull robots and eventually instruments and things out of his head. The girl that we mentioned, Samajimi, is his brother's girlfriend. She kind of uses Naoto as like a placeholder while the brother's in America playing baseball.
Yeah.
Naoto meets Haruka, the girl that gets hit and pulls shit out of his head. He gets conflicting feelings with her. She toys with him. Also toys with his father, and apparently the Protoss are alerting me of a nuclear launch being imminent. Hold on, I gotta send a probe out, and then I gotta send a zealot. No, I need a dragoon. Okay, dragoon's got the probe. We're done. No more nuclear launch detected. I fucking silenced the goddamn thing. I always hated that shit. Like when the ghosts, like when people are really good with humans in StarCraft, and they get like six ghosts lined up in different places, and you think you found the nuke, and then you killed the ghost, and then something else blows up. Fucking pisses me off. Anyways, so you got Haruka playing with emotions, and then you've got this other female character. It's almost like a harem anime. Hey.
Yeah,
you have this other,
actually.
You have the other female character, Nina Mori, I think is her surname. Nina Mori. She's the mayor's daughter. She definitely has feelings for Naoto and has a jealousy issue. And she's also kind of like Naoto, where she also thinks she's more mature, but it comes more from like her experience and place in life than anything. And at the end of the day, Haruka is after a power held by Atomisk, the Pirate King. Believe it or not, guys, the story is as crazy as it sounds, and is as almost as irrelevant as it sounds, because when we get down to it, it's all about the relationships between these people, which is really what makes this show so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, Naoto's able to embody Atomisk, release him. He's been captured by this corporation. That's why Haruka is trying to pull shit out of Naoto to get Atomisk out, to get the power herself. It's a big moment when Naoto accepts that power, goes up to her, and then releases it and says, "Go get it, bitch."
Yeah.
And that's the general gist of the story. So let's start talking about some of these relationships. Brian, you were the first one to bring up the word. Pick one and start talking about why it really interested you watching this show, especially this time around, what you picked up on.
Mamimi, is that how you pronounce it? That one is a very interesting one, because there's this whole idea of, like you said, you're the placeholder. And the more the episodes progress, that dynamic of where he starts asserting, like, you know what, yeah, let's do this, or hey, what are we doing? And she looks at him as his older brother.
Mm-hmm.
The more that he is asserting himself as who he is, she doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, by the end, and also I don't know why the cigarette thing. He describes her. The smell, it's like you can almost smell it, like every time you see her, it's like, yeah, she's constantly smoking cigarettes. Let's also talk about, I mean, it's a not as tied to the relationship, but it is, but the whole fire thing, like, that's some wild shit, and I forgot how crazy that was in the rewatch when I was doing the rewatch. You know, she's a little insane too. That
Yes.
was
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, to go off on that, like I remember seeing girls when I was growing up. There's like, a few of the weird girls, and you're wondering, if they're ever gonna outgrow that. And yeah, just and yeah, she obviously needs help, and we don't really know, everything that's going on in her life, but people start fires for reasons, and so it's like, I wonder what damage is going on there. It can't just be that her boyfriend left, 'cause they started the fire at the school together. So it was kind of like, a curiosity of mine, like what exactly is your home life like?
We never get a glimpse of her home life,
Well,
exactly. Not
it's
real.
so sorry to go with you guys on that. I always assumed the brother was sent away for baseball, like as an like that was his out from like trouble, and here she is left behind,
Yeah.
basically. That's kind of what I got.
Yeah, like he like I don't know if it's like, where the family is like sending him away, like I think this is best for you, or like maybe he just really pushed to get out, like this town sucks. It's like damaging me, that
Maybe
small
both.
town feel where it's like some people just aren't meant for it.
Yeah.
And gets out, and so yeah.
I think my favorite re relationship this watch around, and I watch this probably once every couple of years. I'll watch all the way through, whether it's used to catch it on Adult Swim, like back when I was in the army, or just because, I've got it on home video and Funimation, of course. And I found this time I watched Haruka and Naoto more than anything,
Yeah.
and not just her manipulation, but his actual growth and acceptance. Not, you know what? Sure, we'll call it a coming of age. He came to the age of 12, 13. Finally, like that's what happened. I love it at the end, and we'll get into the music in a second, but that ending moment when he comes up there and he's talking to the agent, or the agent's yelling at him, and he goes to Haruka and he's like, "I love you, but bitch, you are too fucked up for me." He defeats the medical mechanica stuff using Adamus's power, and then releases Adam. She's pissed about it too, but at the end of the day, her last lines to him are almost like she's proud, because she's watched him grow, but not it's not growing like we think of it. It's not growing to an age of adulthood. He grew back to where he should be. And I don't know, I might be the only person that sees it that way, but I really liked it this time around and
Yeah,
really
no, I see it
appreciated
that way
that.
too. And then like also with Mamimi, when he had that interaction with her, trying to kiss her, and she pulls away, and when he sees her again the next time, he just walks off like, I'm done. And so it's kind of like all setting it up, where it's like he's getting rid of bad relationships in his life.
Yeah.
So
Anything else, Brian?
Yeah, say her name. You'll say it better than me. Haruko.
Oh, Haruka.
All right, yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's interesting, and I agree with you, because it's like, she's essentially using him as sort of to get what she really wants. That's, she has her main goal, and she's just using him. But by the end, he has he not only through his, through power and being clever and all that stuff, she looks at him and is like, "Well, in this whole process, now you're sort of interesting." It's like she gives
Yeah.
him that look, especially when she leaves at the end. She's like, "Huh, there's more to you." And well, she makes that reference also, if you go back, I think episode four, might be four, I don't remember, four or five, when the agent guy, when she's just like, "Yeah, you're not shit compared to to him," in terms, talking about in terms of the portal and everything. But there's a lot of wink, wink, and nod, nods as to what else she was referring to. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like I said, that really is the core of this show, and people can, we can analyze it all day long, and that's the cool thing, is everyone gets a little something different and wants to look at a different relationship. Let's talk about anime, music, television, because that's what this is, guys. The Pillows, let's face it, if you, Brian and I are a bit more lucky than Christine, because we were into metal music, means that we got exposure to foreign bands from that. Christine does like the Scorpions, but they don't count.
That's my childhood. Yeah, it's nostalgia.
But the Pillows, Brian, you and I know our entire group of friends sought this band and similar bands out after seeing Fooly Cooly. How much, I mean, are the Pillows on your daily driver playlist, or at least, you know, readily available?
Yeah, and the music and the soundtrack is a big piece of the whole show. It's not just, that's what's so interesting about it. It's about these relationships. It's about, there's a cool sci-fi story. There's a lot of great action. Every episode ends with an epic battle. But it's the whole backdrop is the soundtrack, the Pillows. That is the core to the whole thing. That brings everything together, and there is no FLCL without that. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, I think everybody was trying to get the album, get the soundtrack. Everyone was trying, you know, seeking it out back in those days, mm-hmm. when, like you said, everything was insanely overpriced. So let's just say everybody got a hold of the music one way or another.
Yeah. and to be fair, I know I got. Brian, you said you got. We bought anime off of Amazon that was boxed, looked legit. It wasn't, but we didn't know any better. But yeah, you can't honestly, you can't really, I mean, look, most anime people have pirated. They have, just simply nature of the beast, because here in the West, until
it was the only way.
Exactly.
It's easier now, but no, in the 90s and early 2000s, that was the only way for many shows.
And Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, even when you started seeing more anime on DVD, you were still renting as much on VHS to copy as you possibly could, weren't you? You don't have to admit that. You got a federal government job. No, I'm joking. Anyways, no, but that was a legit thing. Like Matt and I did for Tenchi, the movie Tenchi Muyo and Love. I needed that movie in my life, like a cokehead needs, you know, another hit.
And you couldn't find it.
And only place that had it was a rental place. And Matt had one of those really awesome double deck VHSs. So it was really, you didn't have to bring in your parents' VHS. Brian, do you remember bringing in parents' VHS? Oh my god, not necessarily for that, but you know, if your buddy had, you know, a copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special, you could copy his copy, and you'd literally, no, I'm not lying, do you
know,
you
had, you said Star Wars Holiday Special, I'm like, oh god, no,
the things we had to do for dude, like, oh god, Tech Tuesday talks. Anyways, the music, the Pillows, they've led me down a path of Japanese bands that from very big ones that make it in the U.S. usually thanks to like an anime, like Liarkin's CL. I always mispronounce them, but they did one of the openings for Full Metal Alchemist, Ready Steady Go. One OK Rock, of course, became very big a few years ago in the U.S., crossing over, singing almost exclusively in English nowadays. And then like other bands where I'm like Acute, Molmot, Sim, even though they're kind of iffy, and then some bigger names like Bump of Chicken, Radwimps, which god, if you're a fan of Makoto Shinkai's movies, Weathering with You or Your Name, you know who the Radwimps are. They did the soundtrack. And Brian, is that not just freaking amazing music too?
Oh yeah.
The thing I'm getting at is like anime and music really go together. I guarantee you, I've got a name in my brain, an anime name in my brain, Brian, of great music. You tell me what you think. Like a great anime with music.
A great anime with music?
Yeah.
Show or movie?
Show. Like one of your favorites, and it's not necessarily like a Pillows type, man.
Because my favorite ever is Howl's Moving Castle soundtrack.
Thinking something really cool like Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like how music's used in ways like that.
That has a very iconic, you know, opening song. And it's going to carry through the live action
series.
Yeah.
Yes, which is kind of why I brought it up and why it was on my mind. With the Pillows, not only does it fit, they do reuse songs. The band existed since the late 80s. So yeah. This comes out in 2000. It's the multimedia project, the manga, the OVA, and the light novel all come out really, really close together between 2000 and 2001. And then in the U.S., released by 2003, I believe it was, 02, 03. So the Pillows have been around for a while, but I just, not just the songs from here, but every other album. I mean, my favorite song, Twilight, what's the rest of the words in the title? Thank You, My Twilight, is like absolute favorite song by them, that or maybe 1989, which has an anime music video.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal. Christine, what about you and the Pillows and getting to hear Japanese rock? Like, that's your style of rock that your dad likes too, even so.
Yeah, for me, it was just like, you know, when I first heard all of this, it's like, you know, you want to find more. And what's great about anime is you'll dig for music and you can find an anime attached to it sometimes, or like you watch an anime and you're like, you want to look up that band. So it's just something really special about the way Japan does their anime and their music. It works so well. And yeah, just you dig for more, and the Pillows is one of those. And you just keep looking for more. And then what's great about the Pillows is they've been around for so long, so there's a lot to listen to.
There is a lot to listen to. So let's carry on. So there was one other big thing that this show did, and I think it's because of the time that it came out. You and me, Brian, you graduating or already graduated, me about to graduate senior year when this comes out. We've now been beyond Gundam Wing. We're beyond Dragon Ball Z's Cell Saga. We're knee deep in like our last conversation you and I had, which you guys should check out, our discussion on the rise of anime in the West. And no fall, there was never really a fall, but there was definitely some changing of the guards and stuff, and it was a really fun discussion. But at this time, this is coming out, man, and I can remember the shirts, the merchandise at Hot Topic, the ridiculously priced DVDs. Every little plushy thing was super expensive, but man, if you didn't know what Fooly Cooly was, you weren't an anime fan in 2003, were you?
Yeah, it was everywhere. Yeah, you're right. It was just very, yeah, it was just popular. It was hip. Like you said, you walk around now and you'll see a lot of My Hero Academia shirts, and for a couple years ago, Tokyo Ghoul. My God, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a Tokyo Ghoul shirt. But yeah, right at that point, FLCL, everyone had a shirt, everybody had a hat, everybody was listening to the Pillows. It was It was a big deal.
Yeah, Kyle even had a shirt that wasn't black that you wore. And Kyle always wears black. So
sometimes very, very dark gray.
Yeah, so it was just, I remember that shirt and I kind of miss it because it was just like a little splash of color in Kyle's wardrobe. But yeah.
I have the greatest wardrobe. Well, I used to before I had to start wearing, you know, loose fitting, like, you know, elastic waistbands for health reasons, my ice and whatnot. But anyways, it was easy. I had nothing but black t-shirts. It didn't matter. It was going to be comic book, a band, or back in the 2000, some silly phrase, right? Mm-hmm. And then like a pair of khaki Dickies. Brian, true or false?
Yeah.
And then like four or five pair of the exact same blue jeans, because that's just how I was. So yeah. I never had, it was, is it hot or cold? That was shorts or blue jeans.
Yeah.
And then it's just grab a shirt. It doesn't matter, unless I was going to something like, oh, I want to rep Newfound Glory at this show where this band that used to open for them is now headlining or something, you know? So anyways, Christine, you kind of missed out on seeing, the rise of this in the anime culture, because you know me and you get together a little bit later. Did you see anyone else at school, like in your age group, that you could hear talking about it or at all? No,
they were, I guess, talking about other things, doing stuff that they weren't supposed to, and part of it is because of your graduating class. You know, like I'd hear people talk about parties and stuff when the teachers weren't around, because when the class of 03 left, things went down fast and it sucked being in your wake. I hated life at school. But yeah.
Brian knows it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all y'all sucked.
Anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember hearing them talk about it. I remember seeing it in the stores. But yeah, you know, like, it, of course we had like dress code and, you know, it just, things were kind of strict after you guys.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. And then I'm going to ask Brian about the kids today, because he really surprised me on our last discussion about how much old anime is being watched. So quick word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. Take it away.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
God, man, the Daily Cog has got some great funky music, doesn't it? Thank you, guys. You guys should check out the Daily Cog. It's a LRM's Genreverse podcast daily show Monday through Friday. Subscribe, share, follow. Brian, kids today, are they talking FLCL? Are they listening to the Pillows? Do they know it?
You know, it's not one that I've seen talked about.
Bastards, burn them all to the ground.
Yeah, I really, yeah, thinking about it. No. It isn't. There are some more, you know, like I think I told Yu Yu Hakusho was one. That's some young people are starting to experience now, you know. But no, FLCL isn't particularly one, at least where I'm at. But, you know, maybe in some circles it is. Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird, because I know that retro things, I know that rock, even that garage rock sound is apparently coming back. God forbid. I don't want any more Hives, Kinks, fucking Vines bullshit.
If it'll get kids writing music, I'll suck it up and take it, even if I'm not into it. For so long, they've just, I would say the last 10 years, they just haven't created music, at least from what I can tell. And they're starting to now, you know, so.
Yeah, you've shared a few bands with me, but again, guys, there is a legitimate, if you are okay, so especially if you're into rock and roll and its subgenres, so anything ranging from metal to pop punk to pop rock, the whole spectrum. Ska, Japan, guys, is an untapped market of bands that are sound great in native Japanese. Some of them do really well with English. Some don't. But literally, if you're dry on music, start breaking borders.
There's an oasis out there.
Oh God, yes. And Radwimps, Bump of Chicken, Bradio. Oh God, I'm gonna show Brian the Bradio video after this. But anyways, definitely really cool thing. So that's weird that's one that they're not into. Maybe that's one you should like sneak into one of your older kids. You know what I'm saying? Like name drop it, Brian, and see if you can't viral.
Yeah,
shit.
You know, there was a kid recently. He was wearing stylish socks. Is like in with kids today. That like they'll wear different stuff. But
graphic
right now,
socks, you mean?
Well, it'll have like maybe an old movie or something.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. But, okay, so when you said stylish, I was thinking like plaid with like
no. Like
sailboats.
Like,
yeah, graphics socks. I got it.
This kid was rocking Superbad the movie, like on his socks, and this was a younger kid. And I was like, you know what that is? And he's like, yeah, I've seen it. And I was like, whoa, okay, cool.
Well, fair, Brian. How many horror movies did you and I see that we should not have seen?
Very, very true. But I guess that's still a thing that I guess it's easier now today than any. If you have Netflix, you got a kid with a Netflix account. Holy shit, they can watch anything. But he's a younger kid, and you know, but yeah, he was rocking Superbad socks.
That is crazy. So the modern legacy then, from what I can tell, really is just people like us. I mean, it's not 100% certain, but I can't remember a lot of soldiers being into it, because it was usually younger soldiers that were into anime. So they were coming up. They were flans. Yes, they were flans of Naruto, because no one should be a fan of. No, I'm joking. Please don't hate me. We're trying to break into the anime game, people. Just give us a chance. No, most of them were into the shows that were on the way up as I was kind of like my career was becoming full time in the army. You know, becoming an NCO. I don't have enough time. All I can do is reminisce great stuff and share with my wife all the good anime I'd already found.
Yeah, talking with Brian, because no one wants to get buddy buddy with their boss. It's weird.
Yeah.
especially in the army, because they you know, they're not afraid to yell, so it's like,
well, not just that, but there's a reason for
well,
them.
Yeah, but yeah. It's you know, there's that too, but you know, it's just kind of like, you know, this one thing is like,
yeah,
I remember like the bosses that I had that yelled at me. It's like, yeah, I don't ever want to. I'm not hanging out with you.
So I did write down a couple of things. I just wanted to quick fire and get some opinions on. This show has a lot of meta references to the anime culture and to the anime industry. There's a lot of things, like when the art starts getting cheaper in the second manga version of the anime, where they're, you know, drawing and voice that, and the art starts getting cheaper and things like that. This was meta, dude, before meta was really a thing. This was back when we used to call it reference humor, but I didn't get what the fuck they were what they were referencing to, and I love it now. It's in other simple little things, like another trope that you see in anime is boys becoming excited, and of course they blush and nosebleed or get, you know, whatever. Here, anytime there's a phallic object or the girls get excited over some powerful boy, their nose bleeds, they get excited and heart eyes. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
Brian. What do you think about doing meta things like this that far back, and watching it this time, knowing more about the industry? Did this show grow on you? Not just hold up.
Yeah, it was ahead of its time in many ways. Yeah, rewatching it.
Yeah.
I'm reminding myself, when did this come out? You know, it you're right, certain little things like that. I'm like, oh my God. It was, I got more out of it this last time I just watched the last episode today. I got more out of it than I did back then. And I also think just getting older, you know, you see certain things differently. You have different life experiences, and it, like I said, the relationships is a big core to this show. So it's definitely, I hate to say this, this is sort of a cliche thing to say, but it's like, you have to watch it multiple times to get it. And, but it's just true. This is an anime that you need to watch more than once.
And not so much necessarily, at least now. Back then I would have said it's because it's complicated, but now I would just say because it's layered.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And another great thing that they threw out, I wanted to know, Brian, did you catch the loop on the third reference this time
His
around?
His dad dress?
Yeah.
I didn't get, I did, yeah. I saw it and I was like, oh shit. He's,
I never, Christine's looking at us like she's crazy. I've never shown her Lupin. I actually, since you like crime dramas and stuff, she might, what do you think, Brian? Would Christine like
there's
Lupin?
Well, there's so many jumping on points between movies, the show. Yeah.
It's goofy, so, though. It holds on to its 70s anime chic regardless of the time.
I'll give it a try.
Okay. We'll see then. Yeah. So that kind of wrapped up the points that I had. Brian, were there some additional things that you thought of or discussion points you wanted to bring up?
Being older and some of the lore, I was more, I didn't think about it as much back then, but now I'm just like, I want more. I want to know more. You know, because it does, the sci-fi backdrop is just that. It's a backdrop. It's not the, I mean, it's there, but you're right. It's all about the characters. And so, you know, yeah, they'll say, hey, this is what's happening and this is why it's happening, but makes you want to know more about the that world. Mm-hmm. The animation holds up. My God, the animation holds up. There are certain scenes that it makes me mad at some modern anime, even the good stuff. I'm like, damn, man, like they really went for it. There are certain sequences that are, you know, film anime quality, you know, it looks very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I love episode 5, the hand battle.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
Yes, cool. I think 3 is probably my overall favorite episode, the curry episode, and the school with the cat ears. That is great. And of course, I gotta give a shout out to the rhythm section using bass guitars as weapons. Kind of hurts my heart because I'm like, oh God, don't do. But it's still really cool because, as Ian said, there's no band without the bass. So
very
that's
true.
Ian Grushka from Newfound Glory. Shout out to my pretend friend. He's real. I just pretend I'm his friend. We've actually talked a few times. They just probably don't remember me very well. Actually, sometimes they do. But anyways,
no, they do remember us. We're the one with the kid.
I know, and that is so adorable and sweet. And Brian, I got it now, and I want to share it now. So let's do that and let Christine watch this and see if it makes her excited at all. So let me expand it just a little bit more, and here we go.
It's like, what is this?
And this is how CGI anime should look.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I am familiar with this story.
Right.
I'm just thinking, would this be something worth? I don't know if it's a good jumping on point. Like just the general audience, because like I know the story, but there's so much history that you sort of need to know to understand what's happening in this particular, what will happen in this film.
Yeah, there's a besides the original series, there's a couple movies you need to watch too. So, but yeah, anyways. Who is that?
I don't know.
Alexandros?
That might be Alexandros. I love this animation, man. Oh, I do.
Gorgeous.
No, that's not Alexander's.
No. Similar yeah. style, but yeah.
Fireworks! Cock-blocking fireworks. How much you want to bet, Brian? It's anime. It's cock-blocking fireworks. I know that has to really have made you... Did you know already when I texted you?
No, I did not.
So when I texted you, what was your reaction?
Oh, I was like, good, I'll get to see it. Like, we talked about this on several times. I think
how
on air.
You've been waiting for it, yeah.
Yeah, COVID, you know, happened. And this was supposed to be out a while back. And then it, you know, it was good. Theatrical release in Japan. And then I was like, well, when Demon Slayer?
Yeah.
When it did so well, I'm like, oh, shit.
Or something, yeah.
You know, maybe they'll bring other theatrical animes over. And I was waiting to see if there was any talk. And then we got this. Netflix got it. Netflix is doing a great job, you know, snapping up a lot of content, legit content,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're very excited.
They're doing really good.
Yeah, and making their own and pushing that limit of what is anime. Like we always bring up a prime example of things like Avatar and things like Teen Titans, the original Teen Titans. But look at Castlevania, and there's times where really you're like, this is anime, and the other times you're like, this isn't fucking anime, and then like. You have people legitimately arguing, oh, it's Powerhouse, so it can't be anime. But Brian, is it anime? Does it matter? It's fucking amazing to see.
Exactly.
How
it's adult animation, so, mm-hmm. you know, but it's great. And everything coming out of that particular studio and their future plans. So much good stuff coming. There was an announcement, I don't know if you heard today's the continuation of Castlevania.
Really?
But it's gonna follow. They just announced it's a spinoff, and it'll follow. Officially, I believe they said Richter. It'll be their
Ooh.
Son. So
wow, I'm down with that. I've really really enjoyed Castlevania, and it's not the show to discuss what else Powerhouse has released. But Brian, do you care to say just a word or two about how excited you are to feel the power again?
You know, that trailer was everything it needed to be, and even a little more. Masters of the Universe, Revelation. It's one of those I'm so hyped, and I'm like, please don't screw this up. Everything it looks so perfect. Well, I mean, so far I'm there.
It did look perfect. All right, guys, let's do the close up thing. Thank you guys so much for listening and joining us during this discussion on FLCL Fooly Cooly this week. It is a great anime. If you haven't checked it out, I don't think we really spoiled too much. I hope we encourage you enough to check it out for your first time or to go back and revisit it, and definitely check out some of the bands we listed. Feel free to reach out to me on social media. I'm at @ThatKyleMalone on Twitter. If you ever want some suggestions for additional Japanese bands to check out, like I said, I've got it all covered, guys. I listen to a lot of stuff. Ever hear of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Crazy electronic metal band that puts Icy Stars to shame. Like, please, if you're watching us on YouTube, you're watching a still frame photo. Sorry, Brian, he doesn't really pick up on photos, so it's hard to get them on camera. Please hit that subscribe button, hit the bell button, so you'll be notified when all the great shows go on to the YouTube channel, as well as the awesome celebrity interviews that we get from A-listers, writers, directors. We've had Gal Gadot. We just had I wanted to say his name because it's a big deal, but I forgot. Got it. Just go to the YouTube channel and check it out. We got a lot of really great ones. And then, of course, check out wherever you get your podcasts from. Google, Spotify, Apple. SoundCloud's pretty cool because our curated playlists are available to you. We're not sponsored by them, but hey, SoundCloud, if you want to, you know. please subscribe to all of that. Brian, please tell the people about yourself.
Oh, yeah, you can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos. That's one word. And currently doing shows like Why Women Kill Season 2.
All right. Christine, she writes for the website.
Yeah, you can read something, leave a comment, Maybe eventually I'll make time to set up social media. I do have a Facebook, but I haven't touched it in so long. I need to shut it off and just open up a Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, so eventually.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Keep your eyes out for that midnight run. It's coming up. We'll talk to you next time.